Have you ever been back home, those of you maybe who have moved away from home, to where people remember you as a child or a teenager, but they don't really recognize you as a grown-up? It can be an interesting experience. My husband Jeff's mother, Mary Creech, grew up in a little town. They had one red light called Oler, South Carolina. The people knew Jeff, his brother Bob, and his sister Karen, always as Mary Creech's children. Their mother had grown up there. Her father, sadly, had been killed. He was a farmer when she was 6 years old. They had six children, and all the children were farmed out to different relatives to be raised. And she was raised by an aunt, her Aunt Corrine. Many of the old folk had difficulty remembering or really never even learned her married name of Connor. They always referred to Jeff, Bob, and Karen as Mary Creech's children. Every year, they would have a homecoming service. This was a little bitty church out in the country, and they would have a gathering, and all the family would come home for dinner on the grounds and a service. And for many, many years, Mary Creech and her three children would sing and play the organ and do the special music for the homecoming service. One particular Sunday, they went for the dedication of the chimes for the organ, which had been donated in honor of Stephen Ayers, Mary's stepfather. He was proud as a peacock that day to have his family with him to celebrate. He was very loved by the Connor family, and at his funeral at that same little church, Jeff sang Andre Crouch's song, "To God Be the Glory." In 2008, when Mrs. Mary Creech Connor passed away, they had a service at her church in Augusta, Georgia, where she lived, but then they had to go back to her home church, and they had a memorial service at the Olar Baptist Church. Even though Reverend Jeff was now a pastor, all the kids were grown, they were still called Mary Creech's children. They did not have a name of their own. That's how they were known. Jeff often wondered if he had ever been called to serve that church, if they would have ever called him pastor. Probably not. He would have been called Mary's son, Mary Creech's children. Well, this was the situation that Jesus ran into when he went back home to Nazareth. He was grown. He was doing ministry full-time, traveling around Galilee and Judea, teaching, preaching, healing people. And yet, when he came home to the little town of Nazareth, his reception there was not what you would expect. Dr. Brian Childs, professor at Columbia Theological Seminary in the Atlanta area, helps define the problem that Jesus encountered. He states, quote, "In the first five chapters of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus collects his disciples and he performs his ministry, teaching and healing, some of the most dramatic stories recorded in the Gospel. The healing of the Gerasene demoniac, the man who was living not in his full faculty, naked, out in the cemetery, and Jesus healed him. That of Jairus' daughter, a little girl, 12 years old, dying, and Jesus healed her before he even got there. The woman who had been hemorrhaging for years, all she did was touch his cloak in a crowd and received healing for her life. These miraculous things had been happening, and those who had been healed had believed. And many people had witnessed these miracles, and they believed. So the reader can expect that when Jesus finally enters his own hometown among his own kin people, that they would be grateful for his ministry, receptive to his teachings. But this turned out not to be the case. It may be ironic, this rejection, because Jesus is rebuffed not because of his message so much. It was more because he violated familial or community standards of some kind. It's not that Jesus' teachings in the synagogue were wrong or even heresy. This gospel makes it clear that even those who heard him teach were astonished and maybe even edified. Jesus' offense is that he said something new and different in terms of the codes of thought and behavior that were ingrained in the community of Nazareth. The issue is not that the people perceived it as blasphemy or heresy. It's that they perceived one of their own doing and saying one thing. And that's not the way we do things or say things around here. Unquote. How many times have we heard that comment in our family, in our church? We don't do things that way around here. Every one of us at some point may have said this about various issues or concerns that we have. The result for the people in Nazareth was that Jesus could not do all the good that was possible there, because the limits were set by their perspective. The worst possible statement for the community is recorded by Mark in verses 5 to 6. Quote, "And Jesus could do no deed of power there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them." And the saddest part, Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. Unquote. How sad. As Jesus spoke with his disciples, instructing them to go out two by two to heal, to cast out demons, and to share the gospel of repentance and change, it appears that he might have had Nazareth in his mind when he gave them their marching orders. He told them, "Don't carry anything with you but a walking stick." I think Jesus might have known that disciples could have been vulnerable to limiting God's power, just like the folks in Nazareth. "Don't take all that stuff with you on the journey. Whether it's bread or money or bag, bags give us opportunity to collect baggage." I'm the queen bag lady. Go look at my car. I will tell you, it's a hindrance at times. And our baggage that we carry around with us weighs us down. And it weighs down Jesus too. He can't do as much if his followers carrying too much stuff with us all the time. So think about it a minute. What is it that we are carrying with us that limits God? Do we have perspectives that are not changeable, set in granite? Do we believe that we have to have a bag to keep all our emotional baggage in it? Do we hold on to things too tightly when maybe we should let go? Do we believe we should always take the safe route and the path well trod rather than to minister and find life in uncharted territory? Are we afraid of risking so that we don't take any risks and miss opportunity for ministry and for growth? And sometimes we let experiences from the past keep us from moving into the future with confidence and faith. The items that Jesus mentions for his disciples to go without are all about security. a disciple who would carry no bread would have to depend upon God and the people that he or she would be ministering with to provide food. A disciple who would carry no money would have to trust that there was no need for money, because whatever they needed would be provided. When our team goes to Mexico from Belchase, they take medical supplies, they send ahead of time vitamins that the community has collected, but they don't take any food or money that they need to spend, because once they're there, the people in that community cook for them, provide beds for them, provide whatever they need, transportation to get from one place to another, because they're so welcoming and so grateful that people would come from the United States to come and partner with them in ministry. Dr. Keith Wagner, pastor of St. Paul's United Church of Christ, shares the story of a colleague of his who was pastoring a church in Cincinnati, Ohio. He says of her, and I quote, "She's an effective minister, loved by her congregation. She's a compassionate and sensitive person, and people appreciate her ministry and leadership. What you don't know, though, about my friend," he writes, "is that before she became a pastor, she was the church's secretary. At some point, she received the call to ministry and stepped out of the role of church secretary, which was a very comfortable role for her to be in. She had done it very many years. She was experienced, but she went into something new because she felt that God was calling her to something different. She's an example of a person who took her faith seriously and had the courage to move forward into totally new territory." Unquote. Where is God asking you to step out in faith into new territory? What powerful work of God, maybe that you've missed participating in, that God wants you to be used for? Yes, there's comfort in always continuing on the same path that we are currently on. As we become more aware of the health crisis we have in this country, created by inactivity and not eating well, it's become apparent to many that eating comfortably, sitting comfortably, playing video games and watching TV comfortably, it creates serious health problems for us. We know that getting out and being active makes for better physical and emotional health. Jesus is telling his disciples that spiritual activity, getting out, going into the community, taking the gospel to new places and new kinds of people, that makes for greater spiritual health for God's kingdom. So Jesus told his disciples, go from house to house. Go from community to community. Don't get too comfortable in one place for too long. Jesus himself never stayed in one place too long. It's tempting for us as churches, with our beautiful sanctuaries, our Sunday school rooms, which are comfortable, our wonderful fellowship hall that we love, sometimes we can be confined by these walls to think that we are doing the work of God only in this place. But there's plenty of work to be done beyond these walls. And we put limits on God if we confine the work of the church to what takes place here. Some people even want to confine it to 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and then we're done for the week with God. God's work includes the ministry that happens outside these walls, at your office, in the neighborhood, at some community event, in the park. God wants us to keep moving from place to place and person to person and share the love of God wherever we go. The people of Nazareth did not stop Jesus from doing ministry, but they limited what he did in their own community by their unbelief. If we do not believe, for example, that our church can grow, then we won't pray to the Lord for church growth. We won't invite anyone to come worship with us. We won't ask God to lead us and guide us to minister to strangers in our community through the Holy Spirit. If, however, we put our trust in God first and believe that God can do the impossible, the improbable, the amazing thing, then God will use God's people to do God's will. Just like the success that the disciples had in their mission, two by two. So let us leave our emotional baggage behind us, our need for security and comfort behind us, our thoughts that that's not the way we do things around here behind us. And may we be open to new opportunities, new adventures, to travel a path of spiritual growth and blessings to a place that we never expect. We will see the difference that it makes, but we have to take off the limitations that we put in our minds and our hearts and our spirits. There's a man that asked Jesus for healing for his son, and Jesus asked him, "Do you believe?" And I love his answer, "Lord, help my unbelief." Amen.